All right. For the record, it's April 10th, 2025, 9 o'clock a.m. I'm Phil Albrecht, hearing examiner for Kitsap County. Have a couple items on the agenda today, starting off with the zoning variance, and after that, additional use permit for an accessory dwelling unit. The hearing format will be the same for both, which is we'll start off with a presentation from staff. And who's going to be our staff lead on the variance one?
We have Jeff Smith today.
Mr. Smith, welcome to the proceeding. So Mr. Smith is going to give us an overview of the project. Once he's done, we'll move on to the applicant if they want to say anything in support of their application, and then we'll move on to public comments, if any. A lot of times we actually don't have any public participation on these, and that's just fine. After public comments, then we go back to Mr. Smith to answer questions and provide any rebuttal information he finds necessary. The applicant gets final word, and I get 10 business days to issue a final decision, which is usually about a couple of weeks. Now, by state law, I'm only allowed to consider evidence that's put in the record today. I don't get to talk to staff or the applicant about what's involved in the project. Everything I know about this project is information available to everyone else in this proceeding. And Mr. Smith has put together a pretty comprehensive list of exhibits and a detailed staff report to identify what the project is about. There's a total of 18 exhibits, as you should be able to see on your screen right there. At this point, just want to ask if anyone has any objection to entry of the staff report or associated exhibits 1 through 18. If you do, just click on the virtual hand at the bottom of your screen, or if you're in the meeting room, just wave your hand and Ms. Jones will recognize you. All right, not hearing or seeing any takers, so I'll go ahead and admit exhibits 1 through 18. Mr. Smith, I'll swear you in. Just raise your right hand. You swear firm to tell the truth, nothing but the truth in this proceeding? Okay, great. Go ahead.
Yes, I do.
All right. Go ahead.
My name is Jeff Smith. I'm representing Department of Community Development today. I have over 20 years of planning experience reviewing these type of proposals. This proposal will provide additional housing within Kitsap County. The request today is Edward and Lynn Razel is requesting approval to reduce a 100-foot rural wooded setback. And that is in Kitsap County Code 17420060 footnote 29. They request to have a front yard setback of 56 feet to allow approximately a 1600 square foot footprint for a single family dwelling with associated septic, reserve drain field, and new driveway with this project. And this proposal is, since it's more than a 25% decrease, it's required to have a public hearing. It's a type 3 decision. It's being reviewed under Kitsap County Code 17560010 as far as the variance criteria. The Kitsap County conducted proper public notice around the subject property associated with the type 3 application. And we do a notification of 800 feet around the subject property pursuant to our procedural code. And the notice was published in January 27th, 2024. The subject property is located in the southwest corner of Kitsap County. It's located on the northwest side of Kearney Lake. And Kearney Lake actually encompasses Kitsap County and Pierce County. The subject property is approximately 500 feet from the Pierce County boundary to the north. The property contains slopes. It's along, like I said, it's along the shoreline of Kearney Lake. And Kearney Lake is considered waters of the state. So it's under the Shoreline Master Program jurisdiction. like there, the property includes a moderate erosion hazard and slopes are approximately 20%. As you can tell, looking at the topography, the contour lines, there is a significant slope down to the ordinary high water mark of the shoreline. Property is vegetated with conifers, as well as some deciduous, and most likely an understory of vegetation. Property is 1.6 acres in size. It was created in 1992 originally through a short plat. The zoning is rural residential. That's one dwelling per 5 acres, but this parcel was legally created prior to the county adopting the growth management plan. So it's what we call, it's a legal lot of record. The property is accessed by Southwest Lake Vista Way. Travels from the north down to the south, down to Pierce County, and then that is called Wright Bliss Road Northwest. The property will be served by a private well and on-site septic. Normally, this project would have a 50-foot front yard setback and 20 on the side and rear. But based on the current proposal being located adjacent to waters of the state, there is a 80-foot setback or buffer along the Kearney Lake. The applicant has had a no net loss report or a buffer mitigation plan it's prepared by Environmental Land Services, and that buffer has been reduced from 80 feet down to 50 feet. To address the geotechnical issues, the geotechnical report has also been prepared to address those impacts. So the variance request today is to encroach 44 feet into the 100-foot setback. And the rural wooded setback requirement is in, like I said earlier, is in Kitsap County Code 17420060, footnote 29. And it was originally created since rural wooded is one dwelling per 20 acres, it was originally set up for the people who want to have protection for right to perform forest practices. However, these parcels like across the street and around it, even though they were designated rural wooded, it doesn't really necessarily fit the context as far as long-term forestry. This is a drawing showing that based on our definitions, we address the abutting zone, and the abutting zone includes the roadway. So we measure the setback from the edge of along the front property line. So this drawing that the staff created was to kind of demonstrate as far as the 100-foot setback from the rural wooded, and it does encompass quite a bit of the property. Here's the footprint, the site plan for the property, and tried to highlight as far as the different setback requirements. We have the 50-foot setback or buffer with a 15-foot construction setback from the shoreline, and with some, you see those polygons on the upper east side, or excuse me, this to the right. And there is some mitigation plantings that are taking place. There's a bubble drawn around the requested setback on, I guess you could say, the bottom, and That is 56 feet. And that is the requested setback from the front property line. This site plan includes the primary and reserve drain field area. And this is an enlarged version of pretty much the same site plan, but it shows the off-street parking and driveway access to the structure. And this site plan shows the proposed setback more clearly. This is the building limitations, our resource map that shows the critical areas associated with this. As you can see, the property has that pink layer is the moderate erosion hazard area, shows the lake and the floodplain, and the lake is identified as under the National Wetland Inventory layer of all things. This map shows the shoreline designation, and it has a residential shoreline designation. Like I said earlier, the required buffer is 80 feet, but can be reduced down to 50 feet with the no net loss report. So shoreline residential is the actual name. So we are required to review any kind of variance through the variance criteria. It can be granted on any numerical standard. There's four criteria. The first one is, are there special circumstances applicable to the subject property, including size, shape, topography, location of surroundings, which were created by, not created by the applicant due to apply to general to other property in the same vicinity in the area? Well, this property is a long, narrow parcel. It's 1.6 acres. It slopes down to the ordinary high water mark. There's existing vegetation on the site. So the applicant is trying to balance the need to protect the shoreline buffer and also maintain a zoning setback from the roadway. So there are special conditions related to this that they're out of the control of the applicant. And the second one is, such variance is it necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of substantial property right or use of the applicant possessed by other owners of other properties in the same vicinity of the zone. And so one of the primary things here is that the applicant is wanting to maintain access to views to Kearney Lake, similar to other properties in the area. By positioning the house at its current location, which is a two-story structure, it's a balance between maintaining the existing vegetation. If it was moved back in a different location to try to meet more of the setback, then you'd be impacted by to impacts to views of trees and housing on the other side of the project. So this is a balance to maintain that property right to maintain views of the lake. The next one is the authorization of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or interest to property in the vicinity or zone in which the property is located. The residence will be situated further away from the shoreline than the adjacent housing along the lake. Because some of the housing is down to probably 29 feet from the ordinary high water mark. So this one's gonna comply with the environmental standards in the Shoreline Master Program. And like I mentioned earlier, that there was a no net loss report. So it balances the need to protect public safety as well as allowing the variance to occur. The variance is the minimum necessary to grant relief to the applicant. Well, based on our assumptions is the footprint is approximately 1,600 square feet. And that is a pretty modest footprint. It's not oversized or, it is the minimum, we believe it's the minimum necessary to, for this proposal to go forward. Based on our analysis under the variance criteria, staff recommends approval with the listed conditions of approval to encroach 44 feet into the row wooded setback.
All right, is that it, Mr. Smith?
That's it.
Okay, I just had a question on the site plan that has the green and yellow markings. If you could go back to that. Unfortunately, the text on that site plan is, it's all blurred. I can't, no matter how much I expand it, I can't read any of it. So I just wanted clarification. I take it that the green, is that the shoreline setback as modified by mitigation? Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, all right. And then the yellow then, the kind of the yellow bubble, that's the reduced setback they want from the road, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and then what's the other yellow lines there? What's that depicting exactly?
Well, the other yellow line is what the setback would normally be for this zone if it was just rural residential, and that would be 50 feet, and that's what that other mark is.
Okay, great. Perfect. All right. Sounds good. All right. Well, let's move on to the applicants then. Do the applicants want to add anything at this point? You don't have to, but now is your opportunity. Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Yes, they're coming up.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes. Hi. Just let me know your name and then I'll swear you in.
Jill Souza.
Okay. And Ms. Souza, how do you spell your last name for the transcripts?
S-O-U-S-A.
Okay. All right. Let me swear in. Just raise your right hand. You swear affirm to tell the truth, nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
Yeah, my name is Jill Souza. I'm the architect for the project. The owners, Ed and Lynn Raisel, have owned the property for ages and so finally wanted to build a cabin. And yeah, I don't want to add anything new. I just, the location we found was not only going to meet all the requirements for all the setbacks, except for the additional 100 feet that we needed from the rural wooded. And they were very clear they wanted to also try to maintain privacy, which because they do know the people on both sides and wanted to make sure that it wasn't too close to either. So not only did this site that we picked provide that access that they, you know, to the lake and the views, mitigated all of the reduced any sort of tree removal that as much possible, but also provided them the privacy that they wanted. So I think that's all I need to add. So
okay, great. Thanks a lot. All right, let's move on to public comments at this point. If there's any members of the public, Ms. Jones, anyone in the meeting room that wants to speak, if you do, raise your hand and Ms. Jones will have you come on up. No takers?
We do have one person.
Okay, yes. All right. Well, sir, get your name for the record.
Mr. Examiner, my name is Chip Vincent.
Oh, I think I've seen you before. Yeah, Mr. Vincent, let me swear you in. Just raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm, tell the truth, nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
I'm Mr. Examiner. I am here in, to provide support for the application of Ed and Lynn Raisel. I also want to commend Mr. Smith with his review of the staff report and the recommendation he made. In my review of it, this application meets all the criteria for the approval of a zoning variance, and I'm simply here to support the application and answer any questions that you or anyone else might have.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Vincent. Yeah, nice to see you again.
Nice to see you as well.
Okay, let's move on to any other persons in the meeting room, Ms. Jones?
No.
Oh, okay, let's see on virtual. Is anyone virtual? Doesn't look like we have. Nope, we don't really have anybody signed in except, right, correct, Ms. Jones? It's just looks like staff, and that's pretty much it online, correct?
I believe so, or just going off the names, I think they're here for the other project.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'll just say, if anyone else wants to say something, click on the virtual hand at the bottom of your screen and you'll be recognized. No takers. All right. So back to Mr. Smith. Mr. Smith, any concluding comments?
No.
Okay. One quick question for you, though. I guess, so if I recall correctly, the zoning that creates a 100-foot setback, that's across the street from Kearney Lake Road. Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. And so I take it, they want that separation because forestry practices tend to be a bit not completely compatible with residential use. So I was kind of curious, I mean, are there like any access points across the street from this project site where you have a bunch of logging trucks coming in and out or something of that nature?
No, even though it's designated rural wooded, there are smaller suburban type lots. Okay. With residential dwelling, they're not large contiguous parcels would create logging truck traffic.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Mr. Smith. And I take it the applicants have nothing more to say, so I'll go ahead and close the hearing. And yeah, it looks pretty straightforward. I mean, a lot of times consideration of view protection aren't a big factor in granting variance requests, but there's plenty of other good reason to justify the variance, especially the encroachment to the shoreline setback that would otherwise be required. So it should be a pretty easy approval. We'll get that out in the next couple of weeks. So thanks all for participating on this one. Let's move on to the next one, which is a conditional use permit for an accessory dwelling unit. Let me pull up my file on this. And just give me a second here.
I also have them downloaded too, if needed.
Okay, yeah, no, I have it. I just, okay. Let's see, just gotta frame it a little bit. Oops. Computer's acting a little weird. All right. So, okay, Ms. Lewis, are you you're the lead on this one? Is that right?
I am.
Okay. All right. So this is, like I said, a conditional use permit for an accessory dwelling unit file 24-02178 from Mr. Gardner. And I'll share my screen here real quick. Exhibits, just like last time, got a total of 17 exhibits. And Ms. Jones, is the applicant here today or anyone else here today other than staff?
Not in the room, no.
Okay. At this point, I just want to ask if there are any objections to entry of Ms. Lewis's staff report and her 17 exhibits as depicted on the on my shared screen there. If you do need to see any of these documents or have any objection, click on the virtual hand at the bottom of your screen, or if you're in the meeting room, wave your hands for Ms. Jones. All right, not seeing or hearing any takers will admit exhibits 1 through 17. And Ms. Lewis, I'll swear you in. Just raise your right hand. You swear affirm to tell the truth, nothing but the truth in this proceeding?
I do.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
Great. Do we need to introduce the additional?
Yeah, we did have two additional exhibits that were received after the index was created. Okay. There's another public comment, which I labeled 18, and then there is a road covenant as well, our road
19. Okay, we'll make that 19. And 18, who's the public comment from?
The public comment is from Hannah Elkins and includes a staff response as well.
Okay, and I take that was given to the applicant as well?
I believe so. Yes.
Okay. All right. Just ask at this point if any objections to entry of exhibits 18 and 19, the public comment and the road covenant, or excuse me, just the covenant. All right. Not hearing or seeing takers. Those are admitted as well. Okay. Go ahead, Ms. Lewis.
Good morning. My name is Erin Lewis, and I am a planner with Kitsap County Department of Community Development. Today, I'm presenting a request for approval to a conditional use permit for an accessory dwelling unit to construct a detached ADU. The application was deemed complete on June 14th of 2024. A notice of application was distributed pursuant to Title 21 Land Use and Development Procedures, which provided recipients with project information and an opportunity for public comment. No public comments were received by the department regarding the notice of application. Pursuant to WAC 197-11-355, the Department of Community Development used an optional DNS process for this project. The SEPA comment period previously occurred concurrent with the notice of application dated July 26, 2024. The Department of Community Development issued a determination of non-significance on February 25th of 2025. The SEPA appeal period ended August 9th of 2024. No appeals were filed, therefore the SEPA determination is final. According to the Kitsap County Assessor, subject parcel 092201-3-046-2000 is a 4.9 acre in size, addressed as 4729. Ooh, I have an error in here. I have two addresses. It's on, it's accessing off of Glen Acres Court in Port Orchard. I do have an error in my notes here, so I don't have the street number. I have two street numbers. It's in South Kitsap and is in Commissioner District 2. The aerial photo here shows single family homes and accessory structures consistent with development found in the rural residential zone. The proposed ADU is consistent with properties in the area. The parcel labeled subject site here in red is zoned rural residential. Adjacent properties surrounding the parcel on all sides are also zoned rural residential. The proposal is to construct a new 897 square foot detached accessory dwelling unit. The subject site has no mapped critical areas and is relatively flat. There are no critical area ordinance concerns. The site plan for the proposal shows access from Glen Acres Place, which connects to Glenwood Road Southwest, which is a county maintained road. The site plan shows sufficient off-street parking spaces planned to meet parking standards for the single family residence and the accessory dwelling unit, both the driveway and attached garages. The applicant floor plan shows the primary dwelling unit as 4,489 square feet. Therefore, the maximum allowed size for the ADU is 900 square feet. The floor plan also helps us determine there are no accessory dwelling units within or attached to the primary structure. Here are all four elevations of the primary structure and of the ADU. The floor plan for the ADU demonstrates the size is 897 square feet. And the proposal is conditioned to apply with the following requirements from Kitsap County Code Title 17.415.015B. There are no accessory dwelling units or accessory living quarters on the property. The owner will reside in the primary residence. 50% of the primary residence is 2,245 square feet. Therefore, the maximum allowed habitable area is 900 square feet. The proposed ADU is 897. Coming in under that, dimensions are determined by interior measurements. The ADU is 150 feet away from the primary structure. The ADU will have similar appearance of the primary structure. The ADU meets all required setbacks for the rural residential zone. All health standards for water and sewer have been met and approved. The proposed ADU is not an RV or a mobile home. The ADU will use the existing driveway off Southwest Glen Acres Court, and the project will be conditioned for any applicable stormwater controls pursuant to Kitsap County Code Title 12. Several neighbors expressed concern about the owner of the parcel accessing his property via their private road and the easement on the property directly north of his. There is a road maintenance agreement for Southwest Glen Acres Court and turning north to Glenshire Place Southwest. It's recorded under auditor file number 201603110053, and that is the road maintenance agreement that was entered into the record today. The parcels outlined in red with our subject parcel and its immediate to the east are the child parcels of 092201-3-018-2004. And the parcels in yellow are the child parcels of 092201-3-035-2003. Both of those noted parcels are listed in the road maintenance agreement that has been entered into the record. And we will be conditioning the CUP ADU to have the road maintenance agreement updated to clarify responsibility for the road by naming the resultant parcels from those land subdivisions that have occurred. The department finds the proposal meets the special use criteria in Kitsap County Code 17.415.015B and recommends approval as conditioned.
Okay, thanks, Ms. Lewis. All right, let's move on to applicant. Ms. Jones, is the applicant present?
Not in the room. No, I don't think I see them online either, but.
And if you are online and the applicant, just click your virtual hand. All right, let's move on to public comments. Any members of the public out there, if you're attending virtually again, click on your virtual hand. And Ms. Jones, there's no one else in the room, right?
No,
okay. All right. Well, not too surprising. These are pretty straightforward. So go ahead, close the hearing and easy approval once again. So we'll get that out. Thanks, Ms. Lewis, for your input on this one. And I guess we're done for today. Have a good day.
Thank you.